right, here we go. My name's Jeff Kay, and you are listening to episode 62 of the West Virginia Surf Report podcast. Last episode, the Patreon episode, I was talking about this show that I watched on Netflix, which was delightfully filthy. And I was thinking about what would happen if you took somebody from 1978 and just time-traveled their ass straight into 2019, sat them down in front of a TV and forced them to watch three or four episodes of that show. What would happen? First of all, they'd be terrified at the size of the television. They'd be like, oh my God! You know, that after they got past that, and then they watched this show, and they're used to watching, Welcome Back, Cotter, Sanford and Son, these type things. And then they watched this thing, I think they would have a mental breakdown. I don't know if I'd be able to handle it. Or they'd become very depressed. That might be more, you know, they'd be like, what has happened? What has happened? How did we get to this point? You know, that kind of thing. I don't know. I don't know what they'd do, but I have a feeling there'd be a strong reaction. I think their mind would be blown in some way. So that's what I was talking about. I started talking about, you know, all these detective shows from the 70s where they all have a hook of some sort. And I have a call I'll get to later that I'll play for you on that subject about these 70s TV detectives and how they all had a hook. So I'll get to that later. But today I wanted to, like I yelled the word today, I don't know what. Today I wanted to talk about the early days of cable back when I was a kid and how big of a deal that was to us. I mean, this is one of those gather round children and let me tell you a story. About when I was a young lad, we used to chase a hoop through the street, wear knickers. No. Whew. All right. So, when I was a kid, everybody had black and white TVs. When I was very young, and they had a dial on them, and they had 13 channels. There was nothing ever on number one. I don't know why. I don't know if that was set aside for emergency. I don't know what that. There was nothing on number one. So channel one, always empty. Nothing there. So you basically had 2 through 13. Those are possible channels that you had to choose from. And you had to get up and turn the knob, you know. There was no such thing as a remote. I remember when they first came out with remotes, they had like a wire attached to the TV, you know. The thing was like there's a wire running across the living room. Anyway, back, you know, I'm talking about when I was like 8 years old or whatever. You had to get up and turn the channel. And then there was a possibility of like 12 channels. That's best case scenario. And it seems to me, I'm trying to think back. It seems to me like most of those channels were blank. There wasn't anything there. I don't know. I could be wrong. I'd like to find some old TV guides from like 1972, somewhere in that vicinity, you know, for Charleston, West Virginia. See what was actually on the air. The way I remember it is there were three networks. There was the ABC, the CBS, and the NBC, right? Those were on channels 3, 8, and 13. All right, so those were the big three networks. And then there was some independent station out of Oak Hill, West Virginia, channel 4. Don't remember much about that. I can't remember what kind of programming they had. Probably religious, that kind of stuff. But I do remember one thing. On Saturday nights, they had Big Time Wrestling, or Wrasslin', whichever you prefer, out of Oak Hill. It was live from Oak Hill, West Virginia. And Mister, you know, if you want like every West Virginia stereotype that you could come up with, you could find it on this broadcast. I mean, these people were like, I don't know. I mean, these people came out of every holler. They'd come down to Oak Hill, the big city of Oak Hill, and they'd watch this wrestling. And we would sit and watch this thing. We'd watch this spectacle, not because we were wrestling fans, but because between the matches, they would go up in the audience and they would talk to people, or the audience would come down to them. That's where it was. The audience would come down to them. There'd be like a line of people waiting. And, I mean, these people were, I mean, hardened hicks. I mean, these people were straight out of the boondocks. And they would talk to these people, and it was hilarious. We'd sit there and just howl with laughter. I can remember, they used to give, if somebody appeared on the show, like if they did one of these little quick mini interviews in between, they would give them a prize. And it was like some trinket, you know, some stupid-ass thing. And, I remember this kid who looked like that guy on Deliverance that played the banjo. That's the way I remember him. And he was like, you know, they talked to him and then they gave him something and he didn't like it. He wanted an ink pen. He goes, I want an ink pen. You know, they had this real thick accent. Oh, we're out of ink pens. Sorry. I wanted an ink pen. He's like flying off the handle. They had to, like, bring security out. Had to get one of the wrestlers over there to separate. I wanted an ink pen. And me and Steve and my brother are sitting there just, like, laughing our asses off. So that's about the only thing I remember about Channel 4. I don't know. I don't know what other programming they had. Also, we had TBS, you know? No, not TBS. PBS. PBS, Public Broadcasting. Where you would see, you know, you would see the electric company. You would see Sesame Street, that kind of stuff. And they also had, and this changed my life a little bit, Monty Python. Monty Python's Flying Circus blew my mind. Never seen anything like that before in my life. That thing was unbelievable. And then they had these other British shows, which few people remember, called The Goodies. Remember that show? Of course you don't. The Two Ronnies. There were others. And they had all this British comedy. And I couldn't get enough of that shit. That felt like the wild... I mean, that Monty Python stuff was bizarre and hilarious. I mean, I have a box set of all the episodes, 75, I think. Anyway, so that was on PBS, Public Broadcasting. And I don't remember any other stations. Was that it? So like five stations? It seems like it. I mean, I'm probably wrong. That's what I remember when I was a kid. Like five stations to choose from. There might have been others. My memory's faulty. But anyway, so that's what we had. And from the best of my recollection... And then at some point, cable TV, the modern miracle, came along. And it was this company up in Charleston called Capital Cablevision. And my parents were early adopters. They signed up for it early on. And I wanted to mention, back in those days before cable, everybody had these like hideous... conglomeration of like these antennas on the roof. The roof of everybody's house had these hideous looking aluminum monstrosities. Every one of them looked different. They were all different shapes and sizes. Everybody had them on the roofs of their house to pick up the TV transmissions. And sometimes you'd see people up there like adjusting them, you know. And everybody had them. It was like an eyesore. Like you, I mean, nobody thought about it because, I mean, that's just the way it is. But when I think back on it now, sometimes every once in a while you see a house that still has one of those aluminum antennas on the roof, and you're like, oh my God. Like every single house, 100% of every, you know, every house in town had those things. And there, some of them were like really big and, I mean, different shapes and sizes. So anyway, as soon as cable came in, those things started to disappear. But anyway, so when cable came along, my parents signed up for it. And it was like instantly, it blew everybody's mind. Because now you had this little box in your house, and you broke free of the 13 or the 12 channels. I mean, you were just like, there's no limit. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was a limit of 99 at that point. But you could go up beyond 13. And, I mean, that was like right there. That's enough to blow your mind. It's like, oh, my God, we're living in a crazy age. Everything's changing, you know. So that as soon as that came in, we got it. And some of the stuff I remember about those days, there was a channel on there that, you're not going to believe this, but it was a Capital Cablevision channel, and all it did was show a clock. It was like there was a clock on a wall, and the camera was just pointed at the clock. And you could just turn over there, whatever channel it was, 36, whatever the hell it was, I don't remember, and see what time it is, because it was on the clock. The clock was there. The clock channel. And then every once in a while, the thing would start panning. It was on the clock. It was what you were watching, the clock. But they also had like a barometer. There was like a temp. I think there was like, you could see the temperature. Was that the temperature inside the studio? I don't know what value any of this was, but there was other dials besides the clock. Every once in a while, it would pan. I think some human being. I don't think it was like automated. I think every once in a while, a person would just move the camera down the row of these dials. You see what temperature is inside the Capital Cablevision Studios. Not sure what the value of that is. And then at the end, there was like a typed, I mean, it was just typed on a typewriter of list of these movies that they would play on this channel. So every once in a while, they would break up the clock. They would take the clock down, and they would show these old movies. And I'm talking, I mean, these things are from the 1930s. I mean, these things look like they've been stored, like, it's like they spent time on the bottom of a lake. The things were damaged. They're all faded out. There's like a, you know, there's like, every once in a while, there'd be like a frame that was like burned up, you know what I mean? Looked like it'd been in a fire or something. There'd be clumps of hair on the thing. Be like a couple of pubes that go by. Like, what is, where do they get these things? And they were old, a lot of them were like cowboy movies. I mean, these things, they were like, the cowboys are wearing like pancake makeup, you know? And it was all shot probably out in, you know, Santa Clarita, where I used to live in California. And the things were in terrible shape. I mean, they look like they're disintegrating while you're watching it. You didn't even know if you were going to get to the end of the movie before the thing would, like, just evaporate, you know. There was one movie I watched on there that I remember. It was called High School Confidential. It was on that clock channel, which is what we called it, the clock channel. And that thing was great. I mean, that thing was like a 1950s, these teenage, you know, these rebels, you know, out doing all kinds of like drag racing and all this stuff. I think it was unbelievably good. And I think you can get that thing. I think there's a DVD version of that. So I need to buy that now that I think about it. It's called High School Confidential. World premiere for me on the clock channel, Capital Cablevision. But anyway, so that was just one of the many offerings that they, you know, opened up when we went to cable. We also had this channel, and this was an important. This changed this changed everything. It was this channel out of Cincinnati called WXIX, Channel 19. And I don't know, it was a Cincinnati TV, just a Cincinnati TV channel, like an independent channel. And for some reason, now we had it. And it was fantastic. They had a lot of weird programming. They had this syndicated stuff I've never heard of. I don't know where they got this stuff, but there was a syndicated show on there called the Lorenzo and Henrietta Music Show. Thing was terrible. But the best thing about that, the thing that I remember most about that Channel 19 is the commercials. They had all these local Cincinnati commercials on there that were, I mean, hilarious and crazy and off the wall. And I want to play you one. This is a collection of, I don't know, somebody put this together from various commercials, but it was for this business in Cincinnati or in the Cincinnati area called Cash's Big Bargain Barn. And they always advertised all the time on this Channel 19 featuring this guy Cash. That's his name. And he owned Cash's Big Bargain Barn. Check this shit out.
Follow the signs. Follow the cars. The Cash's Big Bargain Barn in South Lebanon, Ohio, where you save cash with cash. We got Jacobson lawnmowers. Here's my little Mary Lou on a 12 horsepower Jacobson. Ride, Mary Lou, ride. Now, if old Cash don't sell, he don't eat. And you know old Cash likes to eat. Yeehaw! We got Zenith Televisions. The name goes on before the product goes in. Now, if you live in Ohio, you do not pay Kentucky sales tax. Now, next month, we're going on a trip to the Holy Land. Yes, sir. Now, if you'd like to go, just remember, you can always go first class and ride with Cash. Now, remember, folks, you can always save cash with cash.
Awesome. So that's the kind of stuff. Those are the kind of commercials. There was also a commercial, though, another business that advertised all the time on there for a convenience store called King Quick. And I mean, they were on there all the time between Cash's Big Bargain Barn and King Quick. I mean, they dominated this thing. Here's a little bit of that.
Who's open when they're not?
King Quick.
Who offers you a lot?
King Quick.
King Quick, where your neighborhood store.
When you need a magazine or good book, our selection is just right. We have magazines and good books. Take a book to bed tonight.
Who's open night or day?
King Quick.
We're there when you need us.
King Quick.
At King Quick, we have a big display of your favorite magazines and pocketbooks. When you want a good book or magazine, remember,
we're there when you need us.
King Quick.
You're special at King Quick.
King Quick.
We have specials at King Quick.
King Quick.
Here's our special today.
This week's special, 3.25% fresh milk, $1.89 a gallon. Hot coffee, just 10 cents a cup. A dime good cup of coffee.
We're open night and day. We're there when you need us.
Remember, you're special at King Quick.
King Quick.
King Quick Special, 3.25% milk, $1.89 a gallon. Remember, you're special at King Quick.
King Quick!
And I know, you know, I admit to being a nerd, but back when I was in junior high school, and when this whole world opened up, when cable TV was still fresh and new, we used to walk, I can remember people walking through the junior high, singing that King Quick song, like at the top of their lungs, for a convenience store that none of us had ever visited in Cincinnati, Ohio. I don't know. So the commercials were unbelievable. There was a commercial featuring Bill Plummer, who was Johnny Bench's backup catcher, you know, on the Cincinnati Reds. And I think it was for an optometrist, if I remember correctly. So this thing was like hyper local. It was like a local TV channel in Cincinnati. And we had it. We got it at our house. It was like, it felt like we were like eavesdropping or something. It was like unbelievable. It was like, I can remember sitting in school thinking, I got to get home and watch Channel 19, you know? But this Bill Plummer, he was the backup catcher to Johnny Bench, best catcher in the world. And he would say, hi, it was like really wooden, you know? He was, hi, my name is Bill Plummer, backup catcher to you-know-who. We used to play that shit all the time, too. But anyway, some of the other programming they had on that channel, Channel 19, is the Mickey Mouse Show, or the Mickey Mouse Club. Yeah, the Mickey Mouse Club. It's from the 50s. They would just show they would show full episodes. It was like, so I'd come home, and I'd do my paper out. I'd come home from school, do my paper out, go home, immediately turn on the Mickey Mouse Club. These are like reruns from the 50s. We were watching them in the 70s. And it was fantastic. I know that might be questionable, but it was great. The thing was a fun show to watch. And there was a show inside of a show called The Adventures of Spin and Marty. So it was a 30-minute show, I think, Mickey Mouse Club. I think it was 30 minutes. But within that 30 minutes, there was like this recurring show. You know, it was continued every day. It was like 7 or 8 minutes long each day. It's like maybe like a third of the show was taken up by this show within a show called The Adventures of Spin and Marty. It's about these kids at this summer camp. And there are these two friends. One of them, Spin, you know, he's an experienced, he's, you know, grew up on a ranch. You know, he's an experienced rancher at the age of 12, 13, whatever. And then Marty was this city kid. And they, you know, they developed this unlikely friendship, you know, and they had adventures. Because it's right there in the title, The Adventures of Spin and Marty. All right. And then they did one with Annette Funicello. I don't remember what that was called. Maybe it was just called Annette. It was just like this girl and this, you know, this schoolgirl, you know. I don't remember much about that. But anyway, that was one of the things I liked about that. Come rush home like it was 1955 or 56 and watch the Mickey Mouse Club. And here's another one. It was almost as important as Monty Python over on PBS. There was this, it came on 11 o'clock at night, I think, and it was called Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman. It was on Channel 19. It was a syndicated show, and it was a satire of soap operas, you know, and it was filmed like a soap opera. It had the feel of a soap opera. It was on every day, Monday through Friday. And it was exactly like a soap opera, except it was kind of making fun. But the humor was like so gentle. And I mean, I didn't know the source material, you know. And I was a kid. I didn't watch soap operas, so I didn't get any of the jokes. I didn't really understand what was going on. I tried to watch it. I knew it was like, it was supposed to be like a great show and everything because it got a lot of, you know, notices. People, I mean, critics loved it. So I try to watch this thing and I'd be like, I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know why this is supposed to be funny. So it went sailing right over my head. It's called Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman. All right. So then that thing went into hiatus, right? They took like 6 weeks off or something. I don't remember the details. But they were, you know, they took a break because it was a 5-day-a-week show. I think it was an hour. Was it an hour long? I don't remember. But anyway, they took a break, and in its place, they had this show called Fernwood Tonight. It was supposedly broadcast out of Fernwood, Ohio. It was fake. It wasn't. It was a TV show. It was a comedy, but it was like the Tonight Show. It was a talk show. It's like the Tonight Show, but it was supposed to be local, you know, and it was called Fernwood Tonight, broadcasting out of Fernwood, Ohio, and it wasn't really. It was hosted by Martin Mull. I don't remember his last name. What was his name? Garth or something? I don't remember the character's name. But it was Martin Mull and Fred Willard. That was the Johnny Carson and the Ed McMahon, you know. And it was a talk show. Most of the guests were fake, phony baloney. Every once in a while, they'd have a real one on there. The thing was like unbelievably hilarious. And that, I mean, it was like nothing on TV, you know. I don't know if this was before Saturday Night Live. It probably was. I don't know, around that. But the thing was like biting and funny and crazy, bizarre. And it was on a short period of time during that hiatus. And then I think it came back as America Tonight. But it wasn't as good at that point. That original run, those things should be out on DVD. I don't know why they're not. It's called Fernwood Tonight with the number 2. Fernwood Tonight, featuring or starring Martin Mull, Fred Willard. Oh man, blew my mind. One of the greatest things. This stuff is incredible to me when I was a kid. So this stuff's like major. So that's what I remember about Channel 19. They also had like all these, most of it was just like reruns of old 60s sitcoms. That's mostly what they showed. You know, I Dream of Jeannie, stuff like that. Hogan's Heroes. You know, that hilarious Hogan's Heroes about, concentration camp. Auschwitz, no. I think that's a prison. It was a prisoner of war camp. It wasn't a concentration camp. But it's, you know, it was like 20 years after World War II ended. And there's a sitcom about it, you know. It doesn't seem like that would happen today. But anyway. So that's what I remember about Channel 19. Then there was another channel very similar to Channel 19. I think it came after. It feels like it did. And that was WTCG out of Atlanta.
This is WTCG-TV Atlanta. And now we join the following program in progress.
That was very similar. Played the same stuff. They played all those reruns of old sitcoms. And the thing about that is they played The Andy Griffith Show, which is, in my opinion, one of the greatest TV shows ever. The best written, the best acted, just funniest show ever. I'm talking about the black and white episodes. After Don Knotts left, and then they started doing color episodes, not good. But those black and white episodes, that's the best. When somebody asks me, what are your favorite TV shows of all time? Andy Griffith Show, always listed, and Seinfeld. Those are the two. And for some reason, I always think of The Sopranos, too. I mean, those are the three that pop into my head. But as far as comedies go, Andy Griffith, I think people don't watch it anymore, which is a shame. Great show. And that came from that WTCG. And then at some point, WTCG, that's out of Atlanta. It was a local channel just like Channel 19. And it became WTBS. Yeah. Turner Broadcasting. It was owned by Ted Turner. And he changed the call letters to WTBS and started branding it as, you know, Turner Broadcasting System or whatever it was. And He was doing all this wacky stuff. He owned the Braves at that point, and I think he owned the Hawks too. And he would show like all their games, which had never been done before. So you could watch every single Braves game, like all of them. And this is back when they had, like, you know, these questionable, they had this Indian that lived in a teepee out beyond the outfield wall, known as Chief Nakahoma. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think that would fly. The guy was probably like an Italian. He probably wasn't even, an Indian. Chief Nakahoma. And so they'd play all these Braves games. And then, like, 2 o'clock in the morning, they'd replay them. So you could watch, like, you could watch the Braves game. Or you could just, like, if you're staying up late, watch the Braves game. Again, it's like they rebroadcast the thing. It's, like, fantastic. Had these, like, announcers like Skip Carey, Pete Van Wieren. Good stuff. What else about TBS? At some point, Ted Turner started doing this thing called Turner Time. Do you remember this? Where all his shows would end at, like, either, like, 8:05 or 7:35. So he was off. Like, he'd take the whole schedule and just, like, you know, adjust it by 5 minutes. And the theory behind that is if you're watching something and it's over, and it ends at 7:35, you're not going to want to change a channel, because whatever started on the other channels, you already missed the first 5 minutes. So you just stay on TBS, WTBS, WTCG, whatever you wanted to call it. And, you know, that was called Turner Time, and he did that for a long time. There was also these commercials for the Hawks, similar to that King Quick thing, where we would walk around the junior high singing that King Quick theme song. There was this commercial, it was on there all the time on this Channel 17 out of Atlanta, where the guy would go, "Come watch the Hawks at the Omni." And that thing was like burrowed into our brains. And people used to walk down the halls of the junior high screaming that. You know, when you're in junior high, you just scream random, you know. What is that? I think, you know, where you just like take a little snippet of something and just scream it for comedic effect. People used to do that. They'd be like, "Come watch the Hawks at the Omni." I still say that every once in a while. I don't know why. But anyway, there was this guy named Bill Tush that was all over that network in the early days. He was he started out as like a news guy, but he fancied himself the comedian. He had a show called Tush. And it wasn't the ZZ Top song, but it was like this wacky, like, skit comedy thing. He was all over it. He was like the boy. He was the face of TBS, WTBS. And also, I remember another thing I remember about that channel was they showed a lot of these Japanese shows, like these, like, I don't know, Godzilla type things. It's like monsters and stuff. And, like, Astro Boy, maybe, something like that. I don't know. I can remember these people. I can remember this one where these guys are fighting this monster, and they rip his heart out, and the guy, it shows him at the end. You know, there's this big fight, and he rips the heart out of this monster, and the thing's shaped like a Valentine, like a Valentine heart. And, hilarious. So, and then there was a show on there they used to show all the time. I don't think this is Japanese. Maybe it was. I don't know. They used to show Speed Racer all the time. There was also this show on there called Clutch Cargo. You hip to this? It was a cartoon with real human lips. I'm not kidding. It's probably on YouTube. Go check it out. So it was a cartoon, but they put real human lips on there. Very weird, very strange, but these are the things that we're on all the time on this. So this when this stuff was opened up to us, it was like, mind blowing. I mean, we had nothing. We had max 12 TV stations, and I don't think we had 12. I think we had less than 12. Suddenly, you had all this bizarre, wacky shit going on from all over. You're getting like, you're starting to watch like stuff out of England, exotic locales like England and Cincinnati. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, I mean, it was like, I mean, nowadays, Nobody even thinks about, you know, you can have access to everything at all times. We had access to nothing. We were sheltered. We were watching Saturday Night Wrestling out of Oak Hill. See some guy like yelling about an ink pen, and we're just like laughing, howling with laughter. And then suddenly you have all this, you know, you have Bill Tush, and you have King Quick, and you have Cash's Big Bargain Barn. Changed everything, baby. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed that. I want to play you a message following up on the last one where I was talking about Cannon and all those detectives from the 70s on TV. Each one of them had to have their own hook. This is Ian again out of Scotland calling in on that subject, and here we go.
Hey, Jeff. It's Ian in Scotland here. Here's a coincidence for you. I was going to say a strange thing, but I'm just going to say it's a coincidence. I was talking about the 70s Detective Hook thing to my friends last week in a different continent. For real. So I'm going to expand on the list a bit for you, if that's okay. You've already covered Cannon's Hook, which was that he is a morbidly obese ninja detective. And number two on my list is Jim Rockford. His hook was that he lived with his dad in a trailer but still got laid. Detective. That was his thing, as far as I can remember. Number three, we've got Ironside, disabled detective, niche. Number four, we've got Kojak, who was bald, lollipop-loving detective. That was his thing. And he also, if I remember correctly, said, "Who loves you, baby?" To people. I can't remember if he said it to women exclusively or if Stavros got some of that "Who loves you, baby?" action. That was his thing. And also we had a few over here too. One that I can remember was a detective show called The Chinese Detective. And his hook was that he was a Chinese detective. He knew. Okay, so also I was want to say, you don't have to do any more for your patrons. I signed up to a deal where I get some extra laughs from listening to your meandering observations from an American guy on the radio internet. And you're fulfilling your side of the deal. So that is good enough for me. You shall fill that deal and more so. Another thing, Big Mouth is filthy.
Thanks, Ian. I forgot about Ironside. You're right. The disabled detective. Yep. Who was Perry Mason. Same guy. You know. I forgot about him. You're right. I never watched Rockford. I think that was more of an 80s show. By the time the 1980s rolled around, I was, you know, doing other things. None of them very healthy, you know. I was off. I wasn't watching TV in the 80s much. I mean, a little bit, but I was off the plantation. But I didn't watch Rockford much. But Ironside, yep. I'm with you on that. So thanks for that message. I think you got cut off at the end. You were saying that I'm holding up my end on the Patreon thing. Thank you. I appreciate that. I hope you guys are happy with that. And I'll just go right into the Patreon pitch. If you want two of these episodes a week instead of just the measly one on Monday, you can do it. Sign up today for a patronage. That's a monthly donation at patreon.com, patreon.com/JeffK. $4 will do it. You can do more if you want. It's up to you. And for in return for the $4 monthly donation, you'll get an extra episode of the podcast every week. So that's a pretty good deal. So if you want to do that, do it today. Patreon.com/JeffK. If you want to call in like Ian does, and I appreciate that, man. Thank you. I appreciate that. It adds to the show. I really do appreciate that. So if you want to call in like Ian does, call 570-290-8151. Leave a message. Check in. Say, all you have to do is say, "Hey, this is Billy Bob calling in from Oak Hill," you know, whatever. Just call in, whatever you want to do. That's 570-290-8151. Leave a message, and I'll probably use it in a future episode. All right, we're way past. This is a long one. Well, not that long. What am I thinking? I thought we're at like the 45-minute mark. Anyway, hope you guys enjoyed this. I'll be back on Thursday-ish over on Patreon. And until then, you guys have yourselves a fine, fine week. I'll see you. Bye.
Jacobson lawnmowers.